Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary friends. Welcome back to Multicultural TV Talk, a Media Village podcast where we bring you interviews with talent and creatives from across entertainment, discovering their stories and how they are changing the face of stardom across media. As always, I am your host, Juan Ayala. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's get to talking. In honor of Women's History Month, we are joined by four of the stars of the CW series Kung Fu for a special roundtable discussion. Please welcome to the show Vanessa Kai, Shannon Dang, Olivia Liang, and Yvonne Chapman. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So Eddie Liu was actually one of our first guests on the show back in 2021 when we first started this podcast. And I recall that he was talking about how you were off filming the pilot right before COVID lockdowns. You didn't get to finish, unfortunately, but here we are 3 years later, almost to the day of when those lockdowns happened, if you can believe it.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right mid-March.
Oh, Friday the 13th.
March, yeah. It was Friday,
it
March
was Friday the 13th.
I shut down. I will never forget.
And then today was the day that we all came back to, or we all like dispersed, and we were like, okay.
See you in 2 weeks. Not.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Not, yeah, we really Martin thought. Hero was like, it's just going to be a couple weeks. We'll be back up in production in no time. And then 7 months later, we went back.
Yeah, gosh. So I'm curious, you know, it's been, again, three seasons and you just all had your finale. So again, huge congratulations on such a fantastic run so far. And I'd love to hear from each of you. What would you say is the biggest lesson that each of you has learned as an actor throughout this three season process?
Shall I?
Go for it.
It's the first thing that came to mind. It's not a new lesson, but it is a reinforced lesson that the actors are like just one piece of the puzzle. We are not that important to the final product. Like, so much work goes into making a TV show or a movie. There are so many important integral people who are behind the camera who make us look good. And our jobs just wouldn't be possible without them. And so, like, we are just one piece of this puzzle. And I do not think that we are the most important piece. But yeah, that was very much reinforced throughout these last three seasons. And yeah, I'm very appreciative of our crew and everyone else who makes this show happen.
I would actually love to piggyback on that because, Liv, as you mentioned, like, there's so many moving parts. There's so many people. And I think what struck for me to that question is, what's the biggest lesson? It's probably flexibility, because there's so many moving parts and things, and everything happens so fast. And to remain flexible with scheduling, with to have flexibility and process, flexibility of knowing that that the thing that you prepared isn't going to go that way that day, and you have to just roll with what's happening that day. And just say, oh, the scene is now moved, or we have to, so forth and so on, some lighting is not working, or so and so. Yeah. And I think that has been like a huge lesson, is flexibility and stamina, those long days.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say this isn't so much a lesson, but a gift that the show has really had over the three seasons. And it's the camaraderie and collaborative spirit of the entire cast and crew, with everybody coming together and being who they are and being able to be kind to each other is a huge, huge gift for an actor. It makes our job so much easier. And it's just a really sentiment to the cast and the crew that we've been able to have and carry that attitude throughout three seasons and really come out, you know, loving each other and caring for each other. That really helped with the creative process. So I, throughout those three seasons, that is my biggest gift and takeaway from it, as opposed to a lesson. It is a lesson going forward, that that's just what I hope that we can continue to create no matter what happens with the show, if it's on the show or on separate projects, whatever may happen. I'm just really grateful that I've got to work with these people.
I think, well, there's so many lessons, and I loved all of your guys' lessons and reinforcements that you guys said, but I think to piggyback on, I guess, all of them, I would say that the importance of like environment and camaraderie, I realize. I think it starts, throughout the seasons, we've had so many crew that would tell us, and even visiting cast would say, like, it's so great to work on your guys' set. Nurses would come in for the day, and the COVID nurses, and they'd be like, oh, I've been wanting to get on to Kung Fu all season. I hear you guys are the nicest and welcoming. And I think it starts from the top down, because you forget that we set the tone. And I think Liv, as our leader and number one, has been so great at helping set a great work environment and tone, and that allows the cast to follow as well, because, you know, no one needs some grumpy actors and then everyone on the cast, and crew, is just walking on eggshells. So I think we really have made a fun, work welcoming, warm environment. And I think that's a biggest takeaway of like what we can do moving forward on whatever projects we may lead. I hope to always bring that with me wherever.
I feel like, you know, sort of at the end of the day, sometimes in show business, we forget it's a workplace, and you want to have that level of camaraderie and community and all of that. And especially, you know, very few other jobs are you working 12 to 16 hour days and overnights and things like that. You've got your set hours, but in show business, you have these crazy schedules that are all over the place. And you want that sense of like, can't wait to go to work with this amazing group of people, mm-hmm. versus like, mm-hmm. ugh, another day set, you know?
I would also love to add to that is just the attitude of also the attitude of gratitude. You know, it's like, we don't take anything for granted, so that we can show up and say, you know, we are so fortunate. We have one of the best jobs in the world, and we're so lucky that we have each other. So, there's no reason to show up with less than a positive attitude, you know? I just want to add to that. I'm so grateful.
And we mentioned your showrunner, Christina M. Kim, who has done such a phenomenal job, you know, writing all of your characters, and such empowered and strong women. So I'm curious if there were any women from your own lives that you drew some inspiration from, as you were developing the characters, or maybe some of your fellow actors that you grew up watching.
I feel like there's so much inspiration out there. Liv and I were just conversing on another interview about how much the Disney Channel has inspired us, mm-hmm. and the female actors on, watching grow up. I think there's been lots of examples of that. I know I also pay tribute and always am inspired by my mom, who always encouraged my love for the arts, and she worked a lot. So seeing her always like hustle and grind and be productive, I guess, like, I was always like, okay, if I, you know, a goal, hustle, keep working. I don't know. That's definitely contributed. But I think working with all of these ladies here, and plus Kang, who's not in the square right now, but me every day. I seriously, we kind of joke about this, but the women carry it down for our show. Like, everyone is so like, ever right? Okay, like,
no shade to the men, but like, the women, we are all like pro women on the show, like as human beings, and we're also all kind of playing alpha female characters, and then these, we've just got a lot of like male wives on the show.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
Just a little beta boys. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I guess in terms of developing the character, there, Christina wrote very poignantly, like, a very Asian American female experience. So it was kind of all on the page for me. I've said it before, but like, reading the pilot, I was like, oh, I'm Nikki. Like, I had a tiger mom who wanted me to be a genius. Like, I took abacus lessons. That's crazy. And so like, I very much resonated with everything that was on the page. And so, but I guess, you know, I was able to draw from my own life too, and be inspired by my mom, and, you know, like, it wasn't a major like dive into character development. It was just like there and like, mm-hmm. within me as well.
Can you still use the abacus?
Girl, I never learned. I was pretending the whole time. I was like,
I love it.
We were in. I don't know where my mom even found this thing. I'm sure she just heard someone at church say, like, my child's learning the abacus. And my mom was like, well, my child's going to learn the abacus. We were in a garage. And there was just, like, 20 Chinese children in this garage, like, with abacuses. And they would put, like, math questions in front of us. And I was just doing mental math. And I was, like, looking around. And I was just, like, moving my fingers around, trying to make it look like I was using the abacus. Literally never learned. Oh, I was like, what? I was like, have you heard of a TI-89 calculator? Because I will be using that. I do not need an abacus.
How long was this class? Summer.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. The whole summer.
For a summer. Like, an hour and a half every Saturday or something.
Wow.
You kept that lie strong.
The greatest role.
The
greatest role.
Yes.
That was the acting training right there.
That's exactly what it was.
Love it.
You know, I kind of did a dive of like who are great teachers, great role models. I know that she has been blown up quite some time, and I'm not saying because she just won an Oscar, but like Michelle Yeoh, of course. When I think about her, yes, all the flowers. Because when I, there's so few female roles that are already like, or female characters or who are portrayed either in film and or first certainly like Asian or Asian American presenting, who play these characters of teacher on the level of to the degree of the roles that she plays, warriors and guiders and so she has been but I also think so she has certainly infused like I watch her with such grace and patience that she has and that she imbues in her roles but. And I, when I think about the women in my life, I really think about the tenacity of my aunt, for example, and my great grandmother. My aunt, like in a poor village in China, like just marries a stranger, comes over, and you know, it's like the immigrant story of like, what does that mean to like hold it down that way and having 11 relatives like living in a two-bedroom apartment or like my great-grandmother who like was a young widow and she had her feet were bound and so she came over because of my aunt was able to sponsor people and I what is it like for these women and so when I think about playing Pei Ling and how is that infused in this character of who is she and for the people that she wants to hopefully teach impact I don't know those are the kind of role models that sort of like inspire me sort of thinking about
for me I wouldn't say it's anything in particular about the creation of Jalan but look I'm just always trying to make the women in my life and the people that I love proud. So it was coming out the work with that in mind and just wanting them to see what's happening and to love it. And, you know, I'm really lucky, like throughout this whole, you know, audition journey, as we all know, we audition way more than we actually work. I have a few girlfriends of mine who look like me. We see each other all the time in the audition room, but it was such a lovely community because we help each other with our auditions. And this was including one of them. You know, I had girlfriends who were like, oh, this would be fun if you did this and that. And like, we're always bouncing each other, like bouncing ideas off of each other. And it's in creating that community aspect and creation of that work that I really enjoyed. So whether it's, you know, for Jalan or not, it was that kind of collaborative environment that I really loved with my fellow women actors. And I just hope that they're proud of what it came out to be.
I'm sure they are.
Well, thanks.
We're proud.
And Olivia, since you've been leading this cast for three seasons now, what would you say is maybe one of the most eye-opening moments that you've had in playing your character?
Oh, in playing my character. I said this in an interview with Shannon, and maybe she'll she will rebuttal again like she did. But Nikki's a way better person than I am. That was no, it's been very fulfilling to play such a strong-willed and like justice-driven person. Playing Nikki has inspired me to be, you know, more vocal and stand up for the things that I believe in and be less people-pleasing. So I've learned a lot about myself. But I think probably the most tangible, like, eye-opening thing for me is that it's possible to lead something. I truly, like, when I started acting, thought that I would get to, I thought it would take 10 years to, like, book a commercial. And then I was, like, very ready to play the lead's best friend or, like, the therapist in the movie or something, like, smaller or more, like, for comedic relief or comic relief. So, yeah, getting to play Nikki has just expanded my dreams and made me think that more things are possible. And then tack that on to our very successful Oscars weekend. Like, the dreams just keep getting bigger. Yeah.
And Shannon, so we had you and Yvonne on our show last year. And I remember you talking about how Althea is so unapologetically herself and you know, is a role model, honestly, for a lot of young women, because you see this character, you don't see a lot of women working in STEM on television. These are usually roles that go to men. So I'm curious, what would you say you're hoping that audiences take away from the show overall and from seeing you in this role?
Yes. Well, first of all, Liv, you are a good person. Nikki might be saving the world, but you do good stuff too. Okay. Don't put yourself so down. Secondly,
I echo this.
Secondly, yes, I love that Althea is so unapologetically herself. And something, one of my favorite things that I love about playing Althea is how smart and brilliant she is. And she's not afraid to hide it. And I will admit, as Shannon, Althea is a tech genius. Shannon doesn't know anything about tech. I don't know computers. I don't know this. Please, someone help me. Can you read my manual? I just shun away from inner, like, everything is just, I'm technologically impaired. And we play this, and she's so hacker. Half the time, I don't know what I'm even saying, but I'm just like, you know, short-term memory or else.
But you are typing.
Really good. You're selling it, sis. You are selling it real good.
Thank you. Sometimes I have post-its on the computer and I'm just like, yes, just tech warrior, fake it, whatever. But I love that. And I hope, don't get me wrong, I do Google stuff and I have learned and taken away some of the technical jargon, but she infuses, you know, her brain and her skills, and she wants to help Nikki and her missions and help her family and save San Francisco. So something that I love about that is I hope that it inspires other people, and especially females who maybe didn't think about STEM, maybe aren't always afraid to put themselves out there and use, you know, that those skills. I hope they feel inspired and want to pursue things and not be put into a box of, like, you know, females have to be XYZ or quiet or, you know, the assistant. No, they can full on force, take charge, be smart unapologetically. And yeah, I hope she inspires people.
Yvonne, with your character with Jalan, it's always refreshing to see a villain who has depth and complexity and is not just evil for the sake of being evil, like, you know, an old school Bond villain. So I'm curious, what would you say is an eye-opening moment you had playing Jalan?
Oh, an eye-opening moment I had. I think, you know, in the transition that she's had in the three seasons, I've really come to love her vulnerability, because we didn't see a lot of that in the first season. And I love that she had such a propensity and capacity for change, which I think, and I hope, is a lesson that could come out of that, is just no matter your circumstances, no matter where you are, that you do have the capability for change if you want it. And that was a lesson for me, and looking at that and seeing that no matter her circumstances, like, this is a girl that came out fighting no matter what and trying to be a better person. And, you know, she's someone who has a seat at the table no matter her circumstances too. Like, she's always, she's someone who has this sometimes a little bit too much, but I really like her bluntness and her honesty. And that's something that I've really learned from her too, is that sometimes you get to the verb, you just got to say and do what you need to do. And that's been really difficult for me and personally for me, but that's something that I've really learned from her as well, is to have a little bit more of that, because sometimes we need that to get, you know, where we want for ourselves and for other people.
And Vanessa, with the career you've had, and with all this experience that you've sort of amounted during your career, I'm curious, what do you say is the biggest change that you've noticed in the industry since you first got started as an actor?
Oh, it's really funny. I was at an event last night. I was having this discussion with another Asian American woman and about this and what it was like when I started. And now I remember when I started, the struggle I had to try to find a good monologue because there were no plays or any characters that were like reflective of like the thing that I felt that I could present, that I could do. What it is now is I am, oh my gosh, I'm so excited by just how the diversity that I see on television, on stage. I am so, and be it race or LGBTQ A+, and I think that has been, that's the biggest change that that truly excites me. That storytelling doesn't have to be linear, that I think that those are the biggest takeaways, because the answer feels so short and so simple, but like it is so big, whether it's like whether it was our show or Liv, what was that your friend was on, like Partner Track, and then, or whether that was or Everything Everywhere, or, and again, like just a version of like, whether it's our show or Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's like the ways of telling story doesn't have to be like singular. There's so many branches of way of how to tell a story, and multifaceted of universe or characters and storylines, and people, the amount of actors that guest actors that have come through and evolved, and just an opportunity to offer them, everyone else, an opportunity to showcase their talent. I think that's been really great.
And speaking of Everything Everywhere All at Once, as we said, it just swept up the Oscars. And while we've seen such an increase in representation over the last 5 or so years, we all know that there's still a long way to go. And so I'm curious what each of you would say is something that needs to change within the entertainment industry in order for that needle to continue moving in the right direction.
I think it's... behind the scenes, like producers, directors, putting more people of color behind the camera, and in decision-making positions. Like, there's only so much that we can do. We represent because we look like this, you know. When I can't speak for all of us, I think we all became actors because we like acting, not because we felt like we need to represent something. And it just so happens that because we look the way that we do, we're tasked with representation, which sometimes feels very heavy and very pressureful. But the more, like the fact that we have a Korean American showrunner, and the fact that it did not say Mandarin, Cantonese, martial arts experience required in the audition breakdown, because she knows that not every single Asian person knows those things, that to me is representation. Those are the changes happening behind the camera and in decision-making positions that will push our stories forward. But yeah, I certainly don't want to be in the, I'm not going to say no, but I don't want to just be in the Asian projects. for the rest of my career, because then I think that completely defeats the purpose of representation and inclusivity. We're just existing. We're just here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, more execs, more people in position of power who can green light stories, who can think outside of the box and see a story come in from a writer and be like, I know it says that this person is described as, you know, straight white male, but what if he's not a straight white male, you know? And who, just people with creativity in decision-making positions, people of color there. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I have to wait for somebody to say yes to me, you know, as an actor. So yeah, those are my two cents. That was a long-winded answer.
I think something that also helps is to piggyback off what Liv was saying is people write what they know. And so if there is more, like, I know sometimes the arts feel like they're dying, especially in the school system, but I feel like if more children, especially, you know, kids of color and all ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds were to have that exposure and more programs where this can be a viable source for a career, and where parents start to open up their ideas of, you don't have to be a doctor, a lawyer, something in that corporate world, that creative arts are more nurtured. I think that would definitely help, because that's like our future generation of writers, everything behind the scenes. And so like us actors can only do so much, and we already like passed that school level. So I think if I had, I mean, my parents were very encouraging, but I can only assume, I think parents, especially after Oscars and seeing all of this, you know, possibilities, I think more parental generations are going to be open with their kids and pursuing other avenues. So I think that's going to help a lot with diversity.
I would also say too, that in order to create any kind of meaningful or significant change, consistency has to be there. This can't be a moment. This can't be like a one-time thing where it's like, great, we had our moment and then we die off. I don't know how many years, I can't remember the exact how long it was from Joy Luck Club to Crazy Rich Asians getting nominated. It was like, what, 20 years? Like, that can't happen. We need to have a consistent voice, a consistent presence within the industry, because, you know, what Shannon's saying, what you write is what you know, what you see is what you know. And we have to be seen consistently in order for that change to actually be real and to stay there.
My friends are so well-spoken and articulate and so darn, gosh darn smart. I can't add, I have nothing to add. I have absolutely nothing to add. Everyone said it all. Yeah, just behind the camera, more execs, more writers, creators. Exactly what Shannon said, encouragement, opportunities, institutions or like programs that encourage and foster this kind of creativity for children of color and all backgrounds in all schools. Yeah, all of it, and consistency. My friends are so smart. Thanks, guys.
I think something that similarly to what you all said, is studios willing to, and I hate calling it a risk because there is no risk in telling our stories, but for studios to be willing to take the risk, because you know, they made Everything Everywhere All at Once for I think $20 million and ended up getting five times that at the box office. And I think they, you know, A24, they're smart, they know what they're doing. So I don't think they even looked at it as a risk. They saw that they have this great, not to say $20 million is a low budget, but a lower budget sci-fi action film like that, and to be able to bring it to the masses in the way that it has, and as we said, sweep everywhere. And it was so great seeing all of these impassioned speeches at the Oscars, and everyone thanking their ancestors and their families and their immigrant parents. My parents are immigrants from Central America, and just being able to relate to, you know, people think that these very specific stories of an Asian American family and a daughter who is struggling with her coming out to her mother and being accepted by her grandfather and all of that, it's so universal, and it's more universal than people think, you know.
want, you spark that. I think what that inspired me is yes to everything. And for studio heads or people in positions of decision making, to recognize that these stories, that there's a hunger out there for the audiences. Do want to see stories, do want to experience, do want to see themselves. And to give those stories a chance. It doesn't have to be like this cookie cutter box of like the tried and true that we've all grown up with, you know, and like there's much broader and expansive way of how to tell stories and be inclusive, whether, you know, such as Stephanie Hsu's character coming out to, you know, a grandfather. I think that if people in positions now realize that, like, yeah, there's a hunger out there. And I think that's true.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher something that I heard John M. Chu say, but it was essentially like specificity creates universality. So like the more specific we get with these stories and tell it very authentically, more people can relate to it. But if we're just trying to put diversity on screen to fill a quota or to like for tokenism, then it becomes just like an empty shell of a character. But because like a movie like Everything Everywhere is so specific, where they're switching between English and Mandarin, like people in bilingual households, not even Mandarin speaking ones, but they recognize that too, right? Like the specificity of adding that into the movie created a universality where people were able to recognize their own lives in this very specific life.
I think that takes away a lot of the risk for studios too, because honestly, it's in those, like you said, Liv, in those specificities, the human nuances that creates a strong connection to bridge those gaps between, no matter what you look like, that's something that people can relate to. And honestly, at this point, I think we've proven that we're not that much of a risk. All studios are taking risks no matter what, right? It doesn't matter what projects they're taking on. But it's always a risk because you have no idea how people are going to respond. But, you know, true to what Liv just said, in those kind of stories and that kind of storytelling, that's where you can spark some magic. And I think everybody has a right to be invited into that process. So hopefully we get to see more of that come, because we got to just keep it up, you know?
And before we go, I hate to have to wrap this up, but we are getting close to our time. So just our last question, we always ask our guests as we wrap up, if you could go back and give your 13-year-old self one piece of advice, we're going to assume this does not mess up the timeline or anything like that. You know, all this multiverse, all these multiverse films, we're constantly thinking, oh, we're going to disrupt the timeline. But if you could go back and give your 13-year-old self one piece of advice, what would you say?
I would probably say to my 13-year-old Shannon self, to breathe. Everything's gonna be okay, even better than you expect, and have fun.
Oh my God. That's exactly what I was like. I'd be like, girl, just chill out.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. You're 13, you're good, you'll figure it out. You might not figure it out for a while, and that's okay. Life is messy, life is complicated, and it's supposed to be just taken in stride, and you'll be fine. You got people, luckily, who love and support you, and you're good. Sorry to steal your answer, Shannon.
It's a universal thing all 13-year-olds need to hear.
Yeah. Vanessa?
Oh my God, I'm thinking, what would I tell? It will come. Like the business will, there will be room. Don't you worry. Yeah. And have some fun, but there will be room. I think that's the thing that I struggled with when I was like 13. Where's the room?
Yeah.
I have two. One is from my therapist. It's not the end of the world. Like big feelings growing up, and like anything could send me into a spiral and like so much anxiety, but it's not the end of the world. life is meant to be enjoyed. There is brief. And then the second is, I think, will resonate with a lot of, especially Asian kids, but comparison is the thief of joy, because I grew up being compared to the kids who are smarter than me, who are doing better than me, always looking at someone else's successes and achievements and feeling like if they have it, then I can't. And that I think was a very, I know it's a very unhealthy mindset, especially to go into a business like this, where you can't help but be surrounded by, I mean, that scene in La La Land where she's like surrounded by people who look a little bit like her, but maybe taller or thinner or like longer hair or whatever, like you're just surrounded by the temptation to compare yourself to everybody else and allow that to dictate the way that you feel about yourself. And I know that that's something that I've been working on since I was young to try to undo. So I wish that someone had told me that when I was 13, so that I wouldn't still be learning these lessons today. But there's no use in comparing yourself to others, and just you do you, girl.
Also, Olivia, Yvonne, Shannon, and Vanessa, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to everyone listening and watching, you can catch up on Kung Fu on the CW app, stream it there for free, or on HBO Max. And of course, you can follow us at Media Village Com on Instagram. Head over to MediaVillage.com for all of our reviews, interviews, podcasts, and more. I'm Juan Ayala. This is Multicultural TV Talk. Thanks for joining us.